Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUSCast. I'm your host, Grace Fashling. On January 22, 2020, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in the case Espinoza v. Montana Department of Revenue. The question in this case is whether it violates the Free Exercise Clause for a state Supreme Court to invalidate a school choice program merely because that program includes religious options, pursuant to that state's Blaine Amendment. To discuss the case, we have Erica Smith, senior attorney at the Institute for Justice, which represents the plaintiffs in this case.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is a pretty exciting case involving issues of free exercise and separation of church and state, and, of course, school choice. So what happened in this case, I'll just give you a little bit of factual background for those who are not familiar, is in 2015, the Montana legislature enacted a school choice program, and it was designed to help low-income and middle-income families afford private school if the public schools were not working for them. So it was actually a tax credit scholarship program, which meant that private donors could donate to private scholarship organizations, and in return, they would get a modest $150 tax credit. Then those donations would be used to fund scholarships for needy families and needy kids. This is a model that has worked very successfully in 18 other states. And of course, there's many other types of school choice programs out there, like voucher programs, that have also been very successful. So when this program was passed, Montana families were pretty happy, but then things got messy pretty fast. What happened was that the agency, the state agency, who was in charge of administrating the tax credit scholarship program, enacted a rule that said the scholarships could only be used at non-religious schools. So that meant that all the families who were counting on the scholarships to go to religious schools were completely out of luck. And that included Kendra Espinoza, our lead client in the case. Kendra, at that point, had been working 2 to 3 jobs just to keep her kids at Stillwater Christian School. She was working in the office from 9 to 5 and then doing house cleaning and janitorial work just to keep up with the tuition payments. And when this program had been passed, she was very hopeful that she would get a scholarship to take the financial burden off of her. But then this rule was enacted and she was out of luck. So we joined up with Kendra Espinoza as well as 2 other families who were affected. And we sued, and we made a few arguments. We said that the rule was ultra-virus and some other arguments, and we also said that the rule violated free exercise of religion as well as equal protection and the Establishment Clause. And to also give you a little background about why the Montana agency passed this rule, that was because the Montana state constitution has a provision known as a Blaine Amendment. 37 states have these provisions, and they say that the state cannot aid religious institutions, including religious schools. We argue that these programs don't aid schools, they aid families, but more fundamentally, interpreting these provisions to bar religious options in school choice programs violates free exercise and equal protection and the Establishment Clause. So we won at the trial court. The trial court held that the rule was ultra-virus, because the Montana legislature had intended the scholarships to be used at all schools, and they also held that to hold otherwise could create serious problems with the federal constitution because it's discriminating against religion. The Montana agency then appealed to the Montana Supreme Court. There's no mid-level appellate court. And the Montana Supreme Court ruled against us, and they made 2 key holdings. First thing they did is they held that the Montana Constitution actually did require the exclusion of religious options from student aid programs, including this program. That was their judgment. And then their remedy did something strange and unexpected. they struck down the entire program for both kids attending religious schools and kids attending non-religious schools, even though nobody had asked them to do that, and we were the plaintiffs in the case, and we certainly weren't asking them to strike down the program. And the court said that they had to strike down the whole thing because the scholarships for kids going to religious schools were not severable from the program. There was no way to distinguish kids going to religious schools from kids going to non-religious schools. Couldn't be severed. And invalidating the whole program was the only way to ensure that not a dime of money went to kids going to the religious schools. So we petitioned for cert at SCOTUS, and we got cert in June, and we argued that if you're invalidating a program solely because it allows families to have religious options, then that discriminates against religion. And we argued that the court should rule for us under Trinity Lutheran, and that the court should also distance this case from the Locke v. Davy case back in 2004. And I could give a little background about those cases as well. The main issue in this case is we already know, the Supreme Court has already said, that religious schools can be included in these scholarship programs. That was the Zalman versus Simmons-Harris case in 2002. The question in this case is whether, once the state has a scholarship program, does it have to include religious options, or if it could have a carve-out. And we argue that whether you're using a state Blaine Amendment, that's the state constitutional provision here, or if, you know, whatever policy reason you have, you cannot exclude religious options from these scholarship programs. Now, to give a little legal background on this issue, as many of you know, in 2017, the Supreme Court decided the Trinity Lutheran case. And in Trinity Lutheran, the court reaffirmed its free exercise jurisprudence. The government cannot discriminate based on religious beliefs, religious status, or religiously motivated conduct. And we argued that all three of that type of discrimination was present in this case. But there was also the last student aid case that the U.S. Supreme Court decided was in 2004, the Locke v. Davy case. And in that case, the court seemed to carve out a very narrow exception to its general rule that the government has to be neutral, not hostile toward religion. That case also involved a scholarship program. It was a college scholarship program. And there, Washington State had provided scholarships for academically gifted kids, kids who had gotten really good grades in K-12, and said you can use these scholarships at any school that you want, including religious schools. You can use these scholarships to pretty much take whatever major that you want, but the only thing you couldn't do is major in devotional theology. And devotional theology is for people who are studying to become priests or pastors. And then one student had received a scholarship. He wanted to major in devotional theology, and he brought a free exercise clause against the state of Washington for saying that he couldn't use his scholarship for that reason. The Supreme Court upheld that exclusion, that religious exclusion, and they did so on two main bases. First, they said that the program otherwise went a long way toward including religion in its benefits because the plaintiff in that case was free to take as many religious classes as he wanted. He was free to attend any religious school that he wanted. He just couldn't have one major in devotional theology, and it was very narrow. And the court also said that this was justified because the state, and really the country, has this historical interest in not funding the clergy, going all the way back to the founding. This was a unique interest, the court said, and the state could have this small carve-out for this reason. This case, Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue, is really about, well, how can we reconcile the Locke case with Trinity Lutheran? We know the government can't discriminate against religion, but there was this Locke case with this very narrow exception. Is this case closer to Trinity Lutheran, or is it closer to Locke? And we argue that it's definitely in the Trinity Lutheran box, that here the program doesn't just have a narrow religious exception, it has a wholesale religious exclusion. It prohibits any child from using a scholarship at any religious school, and that this violates free exercise. The other issue in the case is whether, because the Montana Supreme Court invalidated the entire scholarship program, not just for kids going to religious schools, if that somehow cured the religious discrimination in this case. And that's what Montana argued at the U.S. Supreme Court. We argue that it does not cure the discrimination, that the only reason the program was invalidated was because it included religious options, and that absolutely discriminates. And we actually cite in our briefs the desegregation cases from the 1970s that the U.S. Supreme Court decided. And there, something very similar happened. A lot of local governments were resisting desegregation orders, and they tried to shut down public programs, including the public schools, to prevent desegregation efforts. And they argued then that, oh, well, we're treating everyone the same. There's no public schools anymore, so we can't be discriminating against African Americans. And the court said, no, it's very obvious that the reason you're shutting down the schools and these other public programs is because you don't want to include a protected class in that program. Just like that state action discriminated against African Americans based on race, shutting down the program here discriminated against religion and religious families. That's what we argued in our briefs, and then yesterday we had the oral argument. Some of you may have read the transcripts or actually attended. It was a pretty full courtroom, and we are very optimistic based on what happened yesterday. There were a lot of questions from the left side of the court, specifically Justice Sotomayor and Kagan and Ginsburg, about the procedural issues in this case, the fact that the whole program was shut down. But then the right side of the court seemed pretty convinced that there was still discrimination in this case. And Chief Justice Roberts specifically asked, how is this different from shutting down a program because it included African Americans? And the government was not able to distinguish race from religion here. I think we're pretty solid on the merits. There were very few questions about the merits from the left. It was mostly focused on procedure. So as long as the court is comfortable addressing the merits of the case, which we think they are, we are confident that we have 5-4 on this.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.